He was a chief tax collector. That short description says a lot about Zacchaeus' standing in ancient Jewish society. The way the Jews of Jesus' time felt about tax collectors was similar to the way many Americans feel about ICE agents. Tax collectors were hated by their fellow Jews for two reasons. They were considered traitors because they worked for the Roman government who oppressed the Jewish people. And they were regarded as cheaters because they routinely demanded more in tax payments than the government required and pocketed the difference. But Jesus loved the tax agents and hung around with them, as he did with others who were outcasts. One of Jesus' disciples, Matthew, was a tax collector when Jesus called him. But the Pharisees criticized Jesus for eating with tax collectors and sinners. The other thing our gospel tells us about Zacchaeus is that he was short. One day in Jericho, where Zacchaeus lived, there was a buzz on the streets, the kind you get when a celebrity is in the neighborhood. They didn't have social media or TV, but the appeal of celebrity hasn't changed much since ancient times. Maybe the buzz went something like this. Did you hear? Jesus is coming to town. Who? Jesus, the guy who's been talking about the kingdom of God and going around healing people. Healing people? From what? Well, I just heard this morning there was a guy right outside Jericho, a blind dude. And he was sitting by the road begging and yelling out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And they tried to shut him up, but he just kept on yelling. And finally, Jesus came over and made him see again. Yeah, but I also heard you have to be careful about this Jesus. They say he pals around with tax collectors and sinners. So Zacchaeus must have heard that buzz. And maybe he thought, they say he's a friend of tax collectors. I should check him out. I don't get many friends. So he looked around and he saw a crowd beginning to line the streets. And he thought, uh-oh, I'm not going to be able to see anything. So impulsively, he ran ahead and climbed a tree on the route, which probably made him conspicuous. And when Jesus came by, he looked up and saw Zacchaeus. Now, it helps to note what Jesus did not say. Hey, Zac, you need to clean up your act. Why don't you stop cheating people and just collect what's required? No, Jesus did not say stuff like that. He did not place conditions on Zacchaeus. Instead, he just called out, hey, Zac, come on down. How about dinner at your place? That's how God's grace works. God does not ask us to clean up our act first. God invites us into a relationship. We respond in faith, and then God empowers us to change. The story of Zacchaeus reminds me of a time when Susan and I lived in a suburb of New York City. One afternoon, I was in the city where I was scheduled to teach a class that evening. I began to notice that there were more police cars and other official vehicles than usual in the area. The word on the street was that the president, Bill Clinton, was nearby and was going to visit St. Patrick's Cathedral. With a bunch of other people, I stood lining the sidewalk to the entrance where the president was expected to go in. Before long, he walked by, so close that I might have shaken his hand. But that didn't happen because he wasn't looking at me and he was in a hurry. But suppose President Clinton had noticed me and said, "That you, Bill? About a cup of coffee. I would have been pretty excited. Just as Zacchaeus was excited when Jesus singled him out. About as likely as my being singled out by the president. Zacchaeus felt accepted, thinking, "Wow, this guy really is a friend of tax collectors." He felt loved. So he responded in faith. He climbed down from the tree. The gospel says he hurried down and was happy to welcome Jesus. So how did the crowd of people around him respond? "Hey, way to go, Zach. Nice shot." No, that's not how the crowd responded. Instead, they grumbled, our text says. "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." That could be translated, "Why didn't he pick someone more deserving? There's some good synagogue people here." How sad it is that people often resist the grace of God being bestowed on others. In the earlier story, when the blind man called out to Jesus for help, people around him tried to shut him up. And in another gospel story, when people brought their children to Jesus to be blessed, even his disciples tried to shoo him away. Often judgments are made about whether someone is deserving of grace. For example, many people resent those who need government assistance for food or health care. And that attitude seems prevalent in our current government. But God's grace is not about who is deserving and who isn't. It's about God's love and God's desire to reconcile all people. So Jesus reaches out to Zacchaeus, a social outcast, and offers him a relationship. And he is moved to respond. When he hits the ground and welcomes Jesus and the people complain, Zacchaeus announces, "Sir, I'm giving half of what I have to the poor, and whoever I've cheated, I'll make restitution and then some." I don't think Zacchaeus thought of these changes on the spur of the moment. I suspect that, like the tax collector in the parable that Stacy preached on last week, he had struggled with guilt over his shady way of making a living. Now, in the warm glow of being accepted by Jesus, Zacchaeus is freed from guilt. And with that freedom comes the power to change. He declares publicly his intention to live a new life. That public statement may have been intended for the crowd to hear as well, meaning something like this: "You want to call me a sinner? Fine, but look what kind of sinner I am. I'm a sinner who's been changed by knowing Jesus." Now I have a question for you. What would it mean for you to come down from the tree? When Zacchaeus came down from his tree, he was ready for change. When I ask what it means for you to come down from the tree, it's another way of asking how God is calling you to grow or change. Maybe like Zacchaeus, your challenge is to give more. Maybe you need to ask forgiveness of someone you've wronged. Perhaps you need to forgive someone who wronged you and start letting go of the resentment that is sapping your vitality. perhaps God is calling you to reach out to people who have been hurt by government policies. But let's not get the cart before the horse. I'm not talking about making resolutions and trying to keep them. We all know how that usually works. I'm talking about letting it sink in, as Zacchaeus did, that God forgives you, accepts you, loves you as you are, and wants the best for you. When you know that, you really feel that, you want to please God. And change becomes a lot easier because God's power is working in you. That may sound too good to be true if you're used to thinking of God more as one who judges and condemns than as one who loves and accepts and forgives. I know what that's like. I've been there. I learned early to feel how bad I was and to be afraid of God. I thought I was in God's doghouse and had to get myself out of it. God's grace began to break through to me when I got to know some fellow Christians as an adult who modeled grace in the way they related to me, helping me feel accepted by God. I still struggle with the old guilt and fear sometimes, but more and more I'm able to rest in God's grace and stay off the treadmill of trying to placate God. In this way, I've learned that in order to know God's grace as a personal reality, not just a doctrine, we need to experience it in community. That's why this community of believers, known as St. John's Church, is so special to me. It's a place where we demonstrate the love of God by affirming one another, and thus we help each other experience grace. To review the way it worked for Zacchaeus, he did not start out by declaring his intent to reform. Jesus took the initiative, accepting Zacchaeus as he was. Then Zacchaeus drew close to Jesus, and the joy of knowing that he was accepted, that he was safe with Jesus, opened him to God's power that enabled him to change. So it can be for us. To come down from the tree is not to make resolutions and then try to change by our willpower. It is rather to understand that God loves us unconditionally, offering us full acceptance as we are and forgiveness for any wrongs we've done. It is to rejoice in the freedom from guilt and shame that God offers, and to respond by drawing close to God. And feeling forgiven and free, we are empowered by God's Spirit to grow and change in the direction that God calls us. So, come on down. The news of God's grace in Jesus is too good not to be true. Amen.